2. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, August 28th, 2025. The countdown to kickoff is on more so than ever. We've got some high school games tonight. Of course, full schedule tomorrow night. Auburn at Baylor tomorrow night. And then, of course, Saturday afternoon, we've got the Alabama Crimson Tide. 13.5-point favorite in Tallahassee. 2:30 on Saturday afternoon at Doak Campbell Stadium on ABC. And we got the Tide in action. Of course, we'll have coverage all day long here on Tide 100.9 FM. We'll have our own pregame show, and then we'll have Crimson Tide Sports Network pregame show. We'll have the game. We'll have Crimson Tide Sports Network postgame show, our own postgame show. So Saturday, lock it into Tide 100.9 FM. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield alongside. Good morning, Chase.
Gary, good morning.
Has it hit you after the appetizer last weekend that, whoa, this is the full course? It's back. And did you notice first, has it hit you that it's back? And have you noticed I'm a weather geek. Have you noticed the forecast for Tallahassee on Saturday afternoon?
Oh, man.
Not good.
I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie to you, Gary. It's not looking too good. But, yeah, it hasn't hit me yet. I think once Friday rolls around and then I start to look at ESPN a little bit more and kind of the games that are coming on, I'm like, oh, yeah, college football is back. But, yeah, the weather, yeah, something to keep an eye on for this weekend.
Yeah, both teams play in it. I get that. But what worries me is there is a chance for some heavy thunderstorms. And with that could come some lightning, which could come delays, which throws off the entire rhythm of the game. Alabama dealt with that a couple years ago down in Tampa against South Florida, and we know how poorly they played in that game. Very fortunate to win the game. So now the flip side of that is if the weather is bad, it affects the fans. I mean, the students probably are going to be just as loud and boisterous as ever, but there could be a portion of the fans that if there's a delay, if the weather gets really bad, if they clear the stadium, there'll be some of those fans that don't come back. Chase, that's just the way it is. So, but we'll see. I mean, both teams have to deal with it, but you'd rather see that opening Saturday be weather-free. But this time of the year, in the state of Florida, there's always a chance for, what we're looking at on Saturday, which is some bad weather. So we'll see what happens there. Tuscaloosa forecast is not bad. You almost wish the game, but you do wish the game was here, obviously. You'd rather have it at home. There's a chance for some showers. I'll be in Birmingham for the Labor Day, Legion Field, Labor Day Week Zero Classic between West Alabama and Fort Valley State. At least there's two games. That's the game I'm doing. And there's a chance of showers over there, but nothing out of the ordinary, really. But, yeah, college football is back. We got it covered for you here on the Gary Harris Show. Absolutely, 100%. Got a great show on tap for you today, and I'll run it down here in just a second. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more by going to alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Or you can get by and see them at one of their 38 locations in the state of Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. Speaking of Northwest Florida. Or you can stop by the hub, the main office, right here in Tuscaloosa. And they're friendly. We had Steve Swofford, the CEO, on Monday. Or actually, I guess it was Tuesday we had him on. And we got a call from Ground Chuck talking about how much they helped him, and they'll help you as well. I'm a member. You should consider becoming a member, too. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, the lineup for today, the coach Ellis Johnson breaking it all down at 9:30 this morning. The former Alabama Auburn defensive coordinator, South Carolina defensive coordinator, Mississippi State defensive coordinator. he's been around. Head coach at Southern Miss, course, was in coaching for 40-plus years, now retired, living in Columbia, South Carolina. We'll break down the weekend SEC slate with him. And then at 10:30, my pal Jess Spiegel, sports anchor at ABC 3340. I had reached out to Jay Sewell, Alabama golf coach, men's golf coach, about to coming on this morning to talk about the Ryder Cup. And, of course, Justin Thomas made it again. Fourth straight Ryder Cup for JT, the former Alabama golfer, but was not able to get in touch with Coach Sewell. So I'll have to talk about the Ryder Cup on my own this morning, because I'm certainly going to get into that as well. We've got a lot of audio from this week. Chase, do we have, by any chance, have hang on, Chase is multitasking, haven't let somebody in the door. Have we got any of the audio from the Kalen DeBoer show last night, by any chance?
Yes, we do.
Well, there you go. See, asking you shall receive. Is it clipped up or just, all right, well, good. Send me those clips, you don't mind. I like to run some of that, because that's, he does his coach's show on Wednesday night, and so we'll get to some of those Kalen DeBoer clips, as he had a lot to say. This is, you know, later in the week. And speaking of, I was on another show this morning. I was on a show last night. I was on a show on Monday. I've been making the rounds a little bit this week, with it being the first game week for Alabama. People have been contacting me, but the injury situation is a little bit troublesome. Basically, through fall camp, this team stayed, talking about Alabama, stayed injury-free. And then in the second scrimmage, right at the end of the scrimmage, that's when Jam Miller got hurt with the shoulder. He's out several weeks. Jaden Roberts, I'm not sure what's going on with him. It's you know, not a lot of information. I wonder if it's a concussion protocol. I don't know. That's my point. But he's more than likely not going to play. I'm pretty confident he's not going to play on Saturday. And now the news about Tim Keenan. You know, here you are into the game week. He went through the entire fall camp, Chase, all that contact, all that, and he's out there in shorts, and he has a non-contact ankle injury and will reportedly have to have that tightrope surgery. Cam Robinson had it. Jalen had it. Jalen Hurts had it. Tua had it, but he's going to miss the game on Saturday. So those are three starters all of a sudden. You're down three starters. And I would say this. I would say that Tim Keenan is kind of the heart and soul of that Alabama defense, and I would say that Jam Miller was kind of the heart and soul of the Alabama offense. Both those guys have been around, started a lot of football games, and now you lose them. You lose Jaden Roberts, your right guard. So I was talking all fall camp about there's nothing but positive news coming out. But here, right here at the end of camp now, camp's over, but as we get ready for the first game, and I know injuries are part of football, but three key injuries before you've played a game, it's disappointing, certainly.
Yeah, you know, but it was expected. I think with all the positivity that was going on for a good bit of fall camp and during the summer, it was bound to happen. There was going to be some negatives to it, but if you're a good football team, or a great football team, you use it as motivation, and it's the next man up. You believe in your guys. You believed in not only your second and third string, but as a team as a whole, and they can come together and get the job done. We don't rely on just one person on defense or on offense. That would just be an individual sport at that point. But we have 11 players on both sides of the ball, and we believe in the coaching staff and the game plan they have for Mike Norvell and Gus Manziel and Florida State. But I see it as something to push forward, not to shy away from. Yeah, the injuries suck, but it's something that you have to use as fuel and let them rest up, let them get the treatment that they need. And I believe that Tim Keenan should be back by Georgia. That's what I've heard, same as Jam Miller. So just use what Kalen DeBoer is putting down the table and believe in what he's doing. And, you know, they hired him for a reason. They didn't hire him just for the good times. They hired him for the bad times. So I think it'll be okay.
I just don't know why I'm so nervous about this game. But then again, people that have been listening to my show for 10 years, Chase, know that that's kind of my personality. You've been around me enough to know. I mean, next week when they're playing ULM, I'll be nervous. So don't read too much into it. But I guess there's just so many unknowns with Florida State. And I'll be honest with you. Another reason maybe that triggers me a little bit is that, you know, when you have a team that's 2-10, you don't expect a miraculous turnaround. But with 50 new players, new coordinators, plus I remember Gus Malzahn. He had left Auburn, went to Central Arkansas for a year. Gene Chizik got fired after going 3-9 and 0-8 in the SEC in 2012. 0-8, didn't win a conference game. I mean, think about that for a minute. I mean, if that ever happened around here, they might shut the program down. Auburn went 0-8, didn't win a game in the league. And then the very next year, Gus Malzahn came in and took them within a hair of the national championship in 2013. Of course, kick six to Alabama, had the prayer in Jordan Hare against Georgia. Now he was the head coach, and now he's the coordinator. But I guess that just kind of has made me nervous a little bit. But, I want to say this, too, because I'm going to get into the schedule with Coach Ellis Johnson at 9:30, and I keep looking toward tomorrow night with Auburn and Baylor in the set. But there's a game tonight. Mizzou, who I think's got a good football team, is going to host Central Arkansas at 6:30 on the SEC Network. So we got an SEC game tonight. So, boy, it's back. All right, Coach Ellis Johnson at 9:30. Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. Your phone calls are welcome on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. That's 205-342-9904. Give us a call. Also, we've got Kalen DeBoer on the Kalen DeBoer show last night, part of the Hey Coach program over at Baumhauer's with Chris Stewart. We're going to get to some of the clips that he had from last night. Sound bites, and he did talk about the injury situation. So we got a great show on tap for you today. A reminder, tomorrow morning I'll be at Innisfree. Fridays at the Free begins. Boy, these next few days I'm going to be running like I hadn't been running all week. On the go, Saturday afternoon in Birmingham. But anyway, we're going to have some fun today. So come right back with us here on the Gary Harris Show. Give us a call if you'd like. And again, that number, 205-342-9904. We're going to break down this SEC schedule in depth before the show is over. So we got a ton of football to talk about right now on Tide 100.9 FM. We're coming right back.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. More than 400 new jobs will be coming to a new Warrior Met coal mine in North Tuscaloosa County. Company officials told the Tuscaloosa County Commission Wednesday the billion-dollar mine will be located off Highway 69 North on Brandon School Road. The company promised to maintain that road if the commission will designate it a haul route and allow heavier trucks. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Townsquare. Media Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special Monday.
His clients. Remember M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me. 205-800-8000.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into
Jason's moved for some cash this morning. How about that, man? Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. We're going to play those Kalen DeBoer clips, but I'm going to hold them for the second hour from the radio show last night. This schedule this weekend, I'm going to run it down, as I said I would, and we'll go into depth with a lot of the games with Coach Ellis Johnson. But again, tonight, Central Arkansas at Missouri. That's a 6:30 kick on the SEC Network. Tomorrow night, Auburn at Baylor. That's a 7 o'clock. All these times will be Central times. 7 o'clock on Fox. Then on Saturday, Mississippi State traveling to Hattiesburg. That's a really big shot in the arm for the people there in Hattiesburg to have the Bulldogs come to their campus to play that game. That's an 11 a.m. kick on ESPN at M.M. Roberts Stadium. We've got Syracuse at Tennessee for an 11 o'clock a.m. kick. Big game there on ABC. Number one, Texas at number three, Ohio State. Biggest game of the weekend. 11 a.m. on Fox. That'll be their big noon kickoff game. Toledo at Kentucky. 11:45 a.m. on Saturday on the SEC Network. I guess that'll be a split broadcast with Missouri. Not Missouri, but with... No, wait a minute. Southern Miss is on ESPN. I'm sorry. Yeah, there will be no split broadcast with Toledo, Kentucky. That's SEC Network. You've got Marshall at Georgia, 2:30 Central on ESPN. Of course, Alabama at Florida State, same time, 2:30 Central on ABC. Alabama A&M at Arkansas. So Arkansas is certainly not going to face a big game in the first week. But that's Sam Shade. His first game as the head coach at Alabama A&M, taking his Bulldogs into Fayetteville to play Arkansas at 3:15 Central on the SEC Network on Saturday. Illinois State at Oklahoma, 5 o'clock Central on ESPN Plus and SEC Network Plus. So a streaming game. No TV for that one. UTSA at Texas A&M on ESPN at 6 o'clock on Saturday. Another streaming game. Long Island at Florida, 6 o'clock on Saturday on ESPN Plus and SEC Network Plus. Same for Charleston Southern at Vanderbilt. A lot of streaming games. 6 o'clock Central on ESPN Plus and SEC Network Plus. Number 9, LSU at Clemson. Number 4, Clemson. That's a big one on Saturday night, 6:30 on ABC. Georgia State at Ole Miss, 6:45 on the SEC Network. Virginia Tech at South Carolina on Sunday at 2 o'clock Central on ESPN. That's a big game. All the ties between Shane Beamer and Virginia Tech. His dad, Frank Beamer, the legendary coach of Virginia Tech, South Carolina, now coached by Shane Beamer. Let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline. And hey, Robbie, what's going on?
Hey, Gary. Happy Thursday. Football tonight, and we're here. It's awesome.
Sure is.
Before I get into that, how about I'm a granddaddy?
Congratulations. Yep. I saw the pick, and man alive. Yep. Robbie, Chase, can you get over that? He's a pops now.
Yeah, I'm a pops. They trying to call me peepaw, and I said, no, I'm not.
You're not a peepaw.
I'm
now.
Not a peepaw.
No.
I'm just G. Just call me Big G, Grandpa G, whatever you want to call me. I'm good with that, but not peepaw. How many peepaws can do the splits?
No, you'd be one of the few. You can still do the splits.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I can still do it.
That's impressive, man. That's impressive. I can never do them. That's one thing I can never
pop up like I used to, but I can still do them.
Yeah, that's impressive. But yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
and everyone's healthy, and I mean, just the easiest delivery ever. She was only in there for a little while, pushed twice, and the baby came.
How about that?
And both of them are doing great.
That's perfect,
Six
man.
6 pounds, and her name's Everly.
Everly, that's a pretty name.
Yep.
Everly.
Yeah,
yep.
So, and then, of course, got home, and my wife went up there to Hank be with them, and, you know, and then Stryker decided he wanted to stay up all night again, so, yeah. I'm like,
oh,
I guess
Stryker.
He was excited about being he's an uncle.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, he's that's right. Uncle Stryker, how about that?
Uncle Stryker at 10 years old, I'm like, oh, wow. But, you know, football, you hate to see the injuries, but this is why it's so hard to go undefeated.
Sure.
All year. Because, I mean, you deal with this, and I hate that we're losing key parts in the first game, especially veterans that have been battle tested like Jim and, you know, and Tim and our lineman Roberts. But, you know, next man up is the mentality, but you just still want to have a little bit of depth in this first game, especially with Gus Malzahn, the way he's going to play up tempo on that defense. So, I mean, with his offensive calling. So, I hate that he went down, but I think it's an injury that he can get back quickly, right?
Yeah, that's the feeling. I forget. Just a few weeks, yeah. Yeah.
So, we'll get him back, and, you know, the rain's going to be bad for both teams and the messy turf that I'm sure they're going to have, but again, they both got to play on it. So, I still think Bama will be fine. We got to. So, we'll come away with a W somehow.
Well, that's the plan, because you don't want to start out the season with a loss, man. It would be you know, you'd have 11 more games to play, and you could put it behind you, but there'd be so much pressure if you lose this one to not slip up. Maybe one more loss is about all you could afford. So, you're right, man.
Yeah.
They gotta get it done.
Florida State is tough. Florida State, I know they had a bad year last year, but that just snowballed on them. That's a proud program, and they got some athletes over there.
Sure they do.
It's going to be a game. It's going to be a heck of a game.
I agree with you, man. I got a 27-13. Like I said, I'm not picking a blowout. I think it's going to be a tough.
Now you're going to
hard nosed football.
You're going to be in Birmingham.
I will
calling
be
the game, right?
I'll be over at historic Legion Field on Saturday afternoon doing West Alabama and Fort Valley State. So, and as I've said, my analyst is a guy named Andre Fluellen, who played at Florida State, defensive lineman 9 years in the NFL. So you're going to have an Alabama guy and a Florida State guy. So I'm sure about 6 o'clock we'll probably be at halftime or right around there. When that Alabama Florida State final comes down, we're gonna have one of us is gonna have some fun, and the other one's gonna have to take a little bit of grief.
Yeah, I know. I hope y'all are paying attention to your game and not watching the Florida State.
Oh, we will be. But I will check the score now. I promise you that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll give you some updates. But if you get done, you can come watch the LSU Clemson game if you want to later at the house.
Well, may take you up on
that. Should be in Birmingham.
Yeah. I'll let you know. All right, Robbie. Thank you, man.
All right, Gary.
Congratulations. Pops.
Thank you.
Yeah. Big G. Got him a granddaughter. Everly. Congratulations. All right, it's 9:29, and we're going to break away. We'll come back with Coach Ellis Johnson. We'll break down this SEC schedule, get his thoughts on the big games coming up this weekend, next on the Gary Harris Show.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to
visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and at this Free Irish Pub. Often imitated but never duplicated, Fridays at the Free with me, Gary Harris, this fall at Innisfree Irish Pub, 1925 University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
The best station in the state, breaking down Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:33, and a little Hootie and the Blowfish means it's time for the coach. Ellis Johnson joining us from Columbia, South Carolina, where there is a big game on Sunday, but a lot of big games before we get to Sunday. And Coach is going to break it down with us here on the program. Good morning, Ellis. How are you?
Good morning, Gary.
Good to have you. Let's jump right in, because we had you on last week to kind of set the table, but now we can get into some games. Of course, Central Arkansas and Missouri tonight. We think Missouri's got a pretty good football team, but that shouldn't be much of an issue for the Tigers. But tomorrow night, Auburn goes to Baylor, and I think both these teams have high expectations for the season, and we know that a loss doesn't kill you, but you know, one team's going to be riding high, and another team's going to be kind of picking up the pieces after 1 week. How do you see this game playing out in Waco?
Well, I think both teams, they sort of mirror each other a little bit. Both of them coming off seasons where they've had a little bit higher expectations than they achieved. The key thing for Auburn, I think they have to have good quarterback play. There's been too much mystery surrounding that, different reports coming out of camp. The kid certainly had a mixed year last year at Oklahoma, and a lot of it wasn't his fault. You know, he had some problems with the offensive line and receiver corps at Oklahoma. So everybody still thinks he's a great player. It needs to be a great quarterback performance for him, whatever the outcome of the game, so they got confidence going forward with it. The other thing that I think is extremely important, Auburn's biggest problem last year overall was self-inflicted problems, turnovers, penalties at critical times, taking sacks when you could just throw the ball away, kick an easy field goal. There's so many problems. They lost two or three games. They didn't get beat. They lost. And they've got to clean up those type things. Baylor won six in a row last year to finish their season. So probably got some positive aspects coming off of that. Their sixth preseason Big 12. They return a lot of offensive firepower and numbers. I had kind of scratched this one off until I started studying up on them. I think this is going to be a really tough ball game for Auburn, but I do think they'll pull it out.
You know, Saturday, we got a really good menu for an opening week of games. We really do. But certainly in a game that's going to be overlooked by most people, but not by you and I. You haven't coached at both these schools. Me having spent time in Mississippi in the TV business. And I know it used to be Mississippi State went to Hattiesburg regularly, but this is shocking now in 2025 for an SEC team to go to the M.M. Roberts Stadium, particularly an in-state rival like Mississippi State going to Southern Miss. This is how big a game this will be over there. And I'm fascinated by the fact that State is going to Hattiesburg. Now, Mississippi State should win this game over Southern Miss, but right off the bat, an in-state rivalry game. It's good for the state of Mississippi. You coached both these schools, including Mississippi State's got a better football team than Southern Mississippi, but on the road in a game one, any reason for the Bulldogs to be nervous?
They better be prepared to play. And they certainly can't get on and sleepwalk. My 2 years at Southern Miss, 88-89, we actually played Mississippi State both years. Played them in Jackson.
Y'all were beating a lot of people in those days.
Rules have changed.
Yeah. Southern Miss used to beat a lot of people.
But we beat them, and they came to Hattiesburg the next year, and we were favored. We just beat Florida State in Jacksonville, and we lost the game in the fourth quarter. But I totally agree with you. It was unusual for them to come back then. I think it's one of those 3-1s or 2-1s that people schedule to get those numbers of home games first and then go down at once. I don't remember, but I think this is a terrible decision by Mississippi State. They're really down in the bottom right now and having a hard time getting the program going again. And you got a chance to play in your home stadium and get your fans excited. And I kind of see it as a slap in the face of your fan base. I mean, I don't know why you do this.
I don't either.
Maybe it was put on there 10 years ago. I don't know. They should win the ball game fairly easily. Southern Miss is not near to the program that we used to have back then. Just some obstacles they have to overcome now financially that they can't compete at the level they used to. So I don't see Mississippi State having a problem winning the game. I think they need to be concerned, more so about how well they play.
Coach Ellis Johnson with us, breaking it down as he does every Thursday here on the Gary Harris Show. A lot of games to touch on, but let's get to Alabama at Florida State. And you're a coach, so you look at it differently than I do, but I always say I would have been a good coach because Lord knows I can find reasons to be nervous. When you look at it on paper, Florida State was 2-10 a year ago. They got 50 new players. They got two new coordinators. But, they're going to have a mat on for Alabama. Their fan base is still ticked that Alabama got in the playoff 2 years ago over Florida State. The 2-10 season's left a bitter pill in their mouth. And this is a different era. You bring in 50 new players. And plus, Gus Malzahn, the coordinator, Ellis, he was a part of a situation at Auburn where he had left for 1 year to be the head coach at Arkansas State, came back, inherited a 3-9 team, a team that went 0-8 in the league I mean, think, let that marinate. Auburn went 0-8, didn't win a conference game in 2012, and the next year he had them within a hair of the national championship. It's at Doak Campbell. There's a chance we're going to have some weather. That fan base is going to be at a fever pitch. I'm a little concerned, not that Alabama will win the game, but I'm not picking this 40-point blowout that a lot of people are. I think this game gets into the fourth quarter. How do you see it?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Now, of course, the bookies got them about a 2-touchdown spread. And, you know, on paper, that's the way it should be. I really think Alabama is going to find their identity this year. And what I mean by that, last year I think they were trying to do things the way DeBoer wanted them done, and a lot of it was very, very different than the way Coach Saban used to do it. Didn't make it right or wrong. It's just different. And different is hard for kids to adjust to in a short time. I think that they'll be better this year on offense. I'm not saying the kids are better athlete or performer than Milroe was, but I think he'll play within the system a lot better, and they'll know how to call a ball game with him. Alabama last year was kind of like 35-yard run for a touchdown and a 50-yard pass for a touchdown, and the rest of the 33 plays they ran were not very good, and it was that all season long. Mid-season, they made some adjustments on defense when Vanderbilt beat them. So it was like they just couldn't find the exact right combinations, and I think that's going to be gone this year. I think they're going to know who they are. I think they'll play a lot better as a football team. Now, you hit all the things, intangibles, going into Florida State, the environment. They've got about 50 new players that do every year. They're portal school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things you don't know about the personnel. I think Malzahn could make a lot of difference for him if he puts a physical running game, which he believes in,
mm-hmm.
physical running game in that offense, and they're able to stay on the field a lot more than they used to. I think, you know, they're going to be a lot better football team. But I think Alabama will win the ball game. I don't know if it'll be double digits.
Coach?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we lost you there for a minute. Now you're back. You're back. It just these phone gremlins just all of a sudden, boom. But you were finishing up your analysis of Alabama, Florida State.
Yeah, I think they will win the ball game, but I don't know if it'll be double digits.
I think it'll be a dogfight, but I'm with you. I think Alabama gets it done. All right. I can't imagine a bigger opening game in week one than the number one team in the country from the SEC. Going to the number three team in the country from the Big Ten in a rematch of last year's college football playoff semifinal, one of the semifinals. We got number one Texas going to number three Ohio State playing the horseshoe on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. What a ball game. Ohio State's defending national champion. Texas is on the road. But I think Texas has a much more equipped team based on who's coming back from last year. How do you see this game? This is a huge football game.
That's exactly what you've already hit the main point I was going to make. You know, there are all kinds of storylines going into this thing, but I think that Texas has a roster that had a heck of a lot less turnover coming into this year than Ohio State. And, of course, Ohio State reloads pretty darn well. They usually are up there in 1, 2, or 3 ranked recruiting class. They'll go out and pluck a critical or one or two transfer portal guys that come in, like the quarterback last year. So they'll have a pretty good football team. But I think for an opening game, and I know they're in Ohio State, and that's going to be a huge advantage, but I think that Texas has got a bunch of players on that roster coming back that have played in some real pressure games. I would think both of these coaches are glad this is an opener and it doesn't come somewhere in the last third of the season where it can knock you out of the playoffs or really affect your ranking and therefore your seeding. By the time we get toward the end of the season, this game won't be so, you know, important in everybody's mind. But right now, you're right, it couldn't be any bigger.
Another big one on Saturday night up in your neck of the woods, a number 9 LSU. I think it's 4 or 5 straight season openers they've lost at number 4 Clemson. It's gonna be jumping when Clemson comes down the hill and rubs Howard's Rock, and LSU. I think this is a team that's on a mission. I mean, I think Brian Kelly feels like now is it's go time. You know, we've had good teams. We haven't had next level teams. They feel like they've got a roster that can compete for a national championship. Certainly Clemson does. Clemson's got the home field advantage at night, but this ought to be a heck of a football game.
Yep. We just talked about a big game with two higher ranked teams, but I think this one has a chance to be a little more exciting and possibly as critical because they both have quarterbacks coming back that started all year last year and were very productive and are considered to be first round draft picks this year. I don't know how much more you could put on the field to be exciting than that. Klubnik has better feet. He can run the football. I mean, if he needs to, he can run it. He's very fast. Nussmeier, not so much. But I do think LSU's got better running back. So the team that can sustain some running game and give these two quarterbacks a chance to make throws, not have to make throws in really tough situations, is going to have a huge advantage. I've seen Clemson. You know, I've seen him scrimmage. I've seen him a few times at practice with my son on the team. The only thing I'd be worried about Clemson coming in, they don't have a proven running back that's played a lot of football, but they've got some talent. The other thing is I'm not sure they're real deep in the secondary and not very deep in the defensive line. So they need to stay healthy. And I would say that LSU's defense is rebuilt. They were not very good last year, and I think that would be an advantage to Clemson. But it's going to be a heck of a ball game if they're favored at home. But this thing's a toss-up, I think.
Saturday morning, there is a really interesting game. Tennessee hosts Syracuse. Of course, Tennessee, we know what's gone on with their quarterback situation. I don't know if a lot of people realize it because Syracuse is, you know, they're Syracuse, but they won 10 games a year ago. And they're kind of, you know, they might be sneaky good. Are they capable of rolling into Knoxville and upsetting Tennessee?
I think they're capable, but they lost a lot of the roster.
That's the key, yeah.
And they did a hell of a job last year. Beat some teams nobody thought they were going to beat. The one thing that worries about Tennessee is while they're going to end up having to play two or three quarterbacks, is this going to end up being a horror show? Nobody on that roster has proven they can play quarterback in a college football game. So if the quarterback thing doesn't turn out to be a problem, even if he's just above average, he doesn't have to be great. I think they beat Syracuse 2 touchdowns. On the other hand, you know, they don't take care of the football. He cannot make some critical third downs. He can't make the throws. They maybe have to bring another kid in. He can't do it either. Tennessee's going to have a long year. So I think they'll find out. I mean, I think Syracuse is good enough. Tennessee's going to find out their very first game. Was this I'm a leaver thing? You know, is it going to be something mm-hmm. we can overcome or not? We still got a problem.
All right, among all these other games, Coach, and I'll rattle them off, and you just tell me if there's one out of these games that you think's worth paying attention to. As I said, certainly Missouri tonight shouldn't have any problems with Central Arkansas. Among the other games before that, we'll do the Sunday. We're going to do the Sunday game because we got a big, big game on Sunday too. All the ties between South Carolina and Virginia Tech with the Beamer family. Virginia Tech, I know Coach Fry feels like it's time to make a little hay there. They, you know, they've been down by their standard. They go into South Carolina. Virginia Tech thinks they're going to have a really good team. South Carolina thinks they got a team that can compete for an SEC championship. So Sunday afternoon in Columbia at Williams-Brice, we got us a heck of a football game shaping up as well.
Yeah, a lot of things. Like you were talking about, the off-the-field stuff that puts a little star on it, I guess. But Virginia Tech's picked 12th in the ACC. Of course, this is just sports writers picking things. Mm-hmm. They've got a real good quarterback back, but they have got tremendous numbers of roster turnover. So I think he's kind of changed the culture, but I don't know that he's changed the roster.
Right.
And you know, I don't know how good they are this year. South Carolina, I think, is getting a little bit too much hype strictly because of Lenore Sellers. And he's worth every bit of it, but you can't do it yourself. And I think right now there's a little bit too much on his shoulders. If anybody early season can get to him and cause some problems to where they find out what he can and can't do very well, they don't have a tremendous cast surrounding him. They lost tremendous losses on defense from last year. I don't know if they've replaced them or not. We'll just have to wait and see, because a lot of them are portal guys, guys I've never even seen or heard of. It's a neutral site. And I would think that Carolina will probably travel a little better, but Virginia Tech's got loyal fans too. So I would think the stadium won't be any kind of big advantage, although Carolina's the home team. They're not playing in
Columbia. Yeah, I'm glad you – yeah, I misspoke there. I said it's in Columbia. It's, is it Charlotte? Is that where it's at?
I think it's in Charlotte. Could be Atlanta. I'm not positive.
Chase, double-check that, because the SEC schedule, when they do it on the SEC website, they don't list – they just list the home team, and they listed South Carolina as the home team. See where that South Carolina-Virginia Tech game is at. We'll make sure we know for sure, because that bugs me the – all goodness about their where they list the schedule. They just list the home team.
It's in Atlanta.
It is in Atlanta, Coach. It is in Atlanta. So that'd be a little bit of advantage for South Carolina. It's a little closer drive for them.
Those Tech fans will travel. They're loyal fans, and they'll travel. I don't think it'll be a big problem for either team, the noise factor problem.
Yeah. All right, let me make sure I get that out correctly. It is in Atlanta Sunday afternoon, South Carolina and Virginia Tech. But clearly you favor South Carolina based on what you just said.
I think they've got a better team simply because of the quarterback. But the kid from Virginia Tech's a playmaker too. Drones, he's an athlete. So I do think South Carolina's overranked right now on the national scene, based upon a great finish last year and just an outstanding athlete quarterback. But they've got a lot of roster questions right now.
All right, let me throw these other games out at you. If there's anything, any one of them that you think's worth keeping an eye on, Toledo at Kentucky, Marshall at Georgia, Alabama A&M at Arkansas, Illinois State at Oklahoma, UTSA at Texas A&M, that might be one, Charleston Southern at Vanderbilt, Long Island at Florida, Georgia State at Ole Miss, San Jose State at, well, that's next week. So anyway, those games I just rattled off, anything there that catches your attention?
I agree with you. I think San Antonio will play pretty well with Texas A&M for a little while. And then I think in the second half, they'll pull away from them. But San Antonio, my understanding, they've put a lot of money in their program the last several years and the brilliant facilities and all those kind of things. They've got some pretty good players. The other one that I think could end up being a little bit interesting is Toledo and Kentucky. We're going to find out if Kentucky's still stuck at second gear.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're not a program they were 5 years ago right now. And Toledo has had some success over the years. I mean, they're a decent football team. And that could be a struggle for three quarters. There was one other one. Let's see. Well, we already mentioned it. We already talked about it. But that's the only other ones that I think would be even interesting by the second half.
Well, we're ready for it. Starts tonight, runs all the way through Sunday. All right, are you just going to do the lounge chair and the TV, or are you going to go to Clemson on Saturday night or Atlanta on Sunday? You got any plans to make the game in person, or are you just going to watch them on the tube?
I'm going to watch Clemson on TV because of the kickoff time. But I got a crazy weekend. Tomorrow, I'm going to drive up to Johnson City, Tennessee, and see my son, who's a grad assistant at Murray State. They're playing at East Tennessee. And visit with him, get up Saturday morning, and come back home. And then get in front of the TV and watch a bunch of these games.
Well, I'll be right along pulling for you with Murray State, because Jody Wright's a friend of mine. I'd love to see them. I didn't even realize your son was up there, but I'd love to see them win a few games this year and get that thing turned around. I don't know anything about that matchup. You think Murray State's got a chance to win it?
They'll have a shot. They're still rebuilding. East Tennessee State has been one of the best two or three teams in the SoCon over the last few years. I've seen some of those games. But I would favor East Tennessee State, but I'm just like you. I hope we can get this thing flipped and turned around. That's a hard job when they got all those Dakotas in their conference. I mean,
oh, it really is, man. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I think I'd be finding me a new league, Ellis, but
They were in the league, with Western Kentucky and Jacksonville State, all those guys, and that one kind of disappeared. They all moved up to 1A football. And so they were looking for a good conference, and I think they got in the wrong one.
You're not kidding. All right, appreciate it, Coach. Great stuff.
Enjoyed it, Gary.
Thank you very much. 9:53, we're going to come back and wrap up hour number one right after this. Another.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
One day closer to Alabama Crimson Tide football. We're going to get you caught up to date with all the headlines surrounding the University of Alabama football team. We'll do that with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We'll go to Las Vegas. We'll talk to Bruce Marshall from Vegas Insider. He'll set the stage for a busy weekend of college football, all on the Thursday edition of The Game, right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events, rehearsal dinners, receptions, and birthdays. They offer brunch and lunch catering. Call Brick and Spoon at 205-345-5551 for more information.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose.
345-1000, Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representations made the quality of legal services to be performed. It's greater than quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials, and for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a chance of showers mainly this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A few showers around. The high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers. The high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
He's jamming. He's jamming today. 9:57. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. The August features continue at Who's Q and Brew for a few more days, and then they'll have some September specials. But right now, the August features jalapeno poppers, two for $9, fresh jalapeno stuffed with pimento cheese and wrapped in bacon, served with house ranch. You get a slider trio for just $11, three brioche slider buns with choice of pulled pork, sliced smoked chicken, or Who's Loaf with pimento cheese and pickles. And the feature drink this month is the Yellowhammer, and also available the Kitty Hammer. That's the Yellowhammer, of course, without the alcohol. Who's Q and Brew opens for lunch at 11 a.m. The Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa off Highway 82. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show, brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Second hour coming up, Jess Beagle at 10:30. Also, we are going to have those clips that Chase has for me from Kalen DeBoer last night for his radio show, plus your phone calls. Another hour, big college football day. We've got games tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
In baseball, the Mets brought out the brooms.
Swinging a high pop-up. That should do it. Shallow right field. Backpedaling McNeil. He's under it. Makes the catch. Put it in the box. The Mets are back in the hunt. They have swept the three-game series from the first-place Philadelphia Phillies and sliced the Phillies' lead down to just four games in the National League East with 29 to go.
Mets Radio Network on the call. They shut out the Phillies today 6-0. The Dodgers completed a three-game sweep of the Reds, coming out on top 5-1. It was the first time that Cincinnati was swept this season. The Rangers crushed the Angels 20-3 and was the most scored runs by Texas since 2011. And the A's shut out the Tigers 7-0.
Nerd.com. Make a night to remember. Pitbull live in concert. For more, hit pitbullmusic.com. The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. An Alabama community means everything, and at the Patterson Law Firm, we're here when you need us most. If you're injured in an automobile accident or any type of personal injury situation, call Patterson Law Firm at 205-345-1000. You won't get a call center. You won't get some operator. You'll talk to a real attorney right here at home. That's the difference. Paul Patterson, North Patterson, both born and raised here in Tuscaloosa and raising their families here as well. And that means a lot, I think. If you need an attorney, 205-345-1000 or find out more at PattersonLawPC.com. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for when you need us.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, in this second hour, I'd love to hear from you on the Storage Center Hotline. You want to talk a little ball? Give us a call, 205-342-9904. Tomorrow, I'm live at Innisfree Irish Pub, Fridays at the Free. My SEC point spread predictions begin, and I'm looking for a much better year this year than last year. I'm fired up. I'm coming to play this year and get back on the kind of track that Gary Harris has had in the past. I've had some years where I've hit well over 60% against the point spread picking SEC games, and I feel like that I'm going to be back this year. So that comes up tomorrow. If you're wondering about Bama football trivia, I am planning on doing it. I'm not going to do it this week because we've got a lot of moving parts tomorrow with the show. Our first Friday at the Free, so but we will at some point implement that and get back to giving away those great prizes that we give away courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, but not tomorrow. But we will have SEC point spread predictions. We'll have how about this? You remember Philip calling in saying you need to get Kirk McNair on? Well, Kirk McNair tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And Kirk McNair is one of the few reporters left that has that link of having gone through the Coach Bryant years. In fact, he was in the sports information department at Alabama when Coach Bryant was head coach, started Bama Mag all through the Saban years, and just a wealth of knowledge. Kirk McNair, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show. You want to stay tuned for that conversation. Also, hope to have Adam Amin back tomorrow as well, but we'll have a good show. But for right now, we got a good show too. And we're going to get to Coach Kalen DeBoer. Last night, his radio show, and he took phone calls, as he does. Also, of course, Chris Stewart hosted that. And let's play some clips. Let's begin, Chase, with the injury report for this weekend. We know that Jam Miller's out. Unfortunately, now Kim Keenan's out. Doesn't look good for Jaden Roberts, but here's Coach DeBoer when asked about the injury situation for his football team headed to Tallahassee.
Well, it's been a pretty clean camp the last couple weeks. A few guys, everyone knows about Jam, and then TK got dinged up here a couple days ago or yesterday. And so just, that's unfortunate, and you feel from my standpoint, upperclassmen who have poured so much into it and really have helped us build the culture, and it's right. going to continue to build. It's never there, right? And you got to continue to have care for it. But you know, those guys are two guys that are critical to how we've gotten to where we're at right now, and why we feel we got a good team that is ready to go do some things. But the new guys will have to step up, and that's easier said than done. That's what they get ready for, and TK and. Jam will be right there trying to help him along the way.
Yeah, I mean, he's a football coach, and that has to be the mentality. It has to be next man up. I mean, I always say there's a reason the guys, the first teamer is the first teamer, Chase, you know? And when first team player goes down, it doesn't mean you don't have a good player back there to come in, but you don't expect to get better. You don't expect to lose your first team guy and get better. You're not going to be better at defensive tackle without Tim Keenan. You're not going to be better at running back without Jam Miller. You're not going to be better at right guard if Jaden Roberts can't go. But you do have good football players to fill those roles. All right. Here's a clip from Coach DeBoer asked about defensive players getting tired of working against their own team, not getting a chance to hit anybody else. Well, they get that chance on Saturday. Coach DeBoer was asked, how does it feel for the defensive players knowing they're going to get a chance to play and hit somebody full speed in another color jersey on Saturday afternoon?
I get to hit somebody else, and they are as well, because it can be tough. I mean, it can get a little chippy at times, I would imagine. Everybody does at certain moments, but they're just ready to see somebody else.
Yeah, I think you get to probably about practice 12, and then the heat picked up, and it's a little warmer. It does get chippy, but that's what you want. You want to have a team that's got an edge, and you want to try to create this adversity, because it's hard to simulate what you're going to get when it comes to adversity in a game. And so any of those type of things that can happen, and you kind of figure out who you have and who your guys are that keep a level head and who you got to keep working on. It's been a great camp that way. But, it's definitely time to hit someone else.
Yeah, it is. And Saturday afternoon, they'll get that opportunity. Let's get to one more clip from Coach DeBoer. Then we're going to break away and take a phone call, and we'll play the other clips later. This is a really good topic here. You're going to play a team with two new coordinators, Tony White on defense, Gus Malzahn on offense, 50 new players. So how do you prepare for a team with this many new players and two new coordinators? Here's what Coach DeBoer had to say.
Changes as well. Yeah, well, Coach Norvell, he's going on his sixth year there at Florida State. Done an excellent job, not just there, but other places he's been. Offensive-minded guy, but, this year bringing in two new coordinators, one on offense and defense. Special teams coordinator continues to be the consistent one that they've had the entire time Coach Norvell's been there. So, Coach Malzahn and Coach White, certainly aware of who they are. I've competed against Coach White more than Coach Malzahn, but a number of guys on our staff have. And so you kind of know what you're going to get from based on their history. But, new personnel, a lot of transfers into Florida State. I think there's I don't even know the number. I think there's 24 or 25 just in there too deep, just without, or maybe more than that, a couple more than that. But it's just a lot of new faces, and you're trying to plug and play and figure out what that's going to look like. We're looking at other film of other teams where the coordinators have been over the last few years. And so in the end, you got to keep it about us. You got to give them a good plan, our guys a good plan, a good starting point. But we're certainly going to have to be ready to adjust, evolve throughout the course of the game. There's going to be some wrinkles that we haven't seen, things that, they're going to do that they've been working on. And so that's kind of the piece with week one, no matter who you're playing, but especially these guys this year.
All right, and we're going to get back to some clips from Coach DeBoer from his coach's show on Wednesday night. But right now we're jumping out on the storage center hotline at 205-342-9904, and that's where we find Cam. What's up, Cameron?
Hey, Garrett, how are you doing, brother?
Doing great, man. Good to hear from you. Been a while.
You too. Yeah, man, I've been dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. But, life is good. Football's getting closer. It's not so damn hot up here in North Georgia, so that's a win.
Absolutely.
Hey, man, I guess we're all different. We have different opinions. What is the advantage of letting your opponent know who is playing and who is not playing on Saturday in regards to injuries? I wouldn't want to tell them anything. Not,
yeah, here's the deal, Cam.
You better guess.
In some cases, if it happens, you know, the week of the game, and you can, you know, keep it under wraps and not know the status of a player, maybe that's a possibility. But when it happens during camp or it happens so far out from the game, first of all, you have reporters that are, you know, covering your team every day. And it's just and if a guy's going to be out and you know he's going to be out, I think it's also just kind of standard operating procedure that when you release your roster or your starters for the game, that the other team kind of does the same. So it's almost one of those gentlemen's agreement, you know, that if somebody's going to be out and you know they're going to be out, you know, you have to put out an injury report now for the league. So I think that's kind of.
I just don't like it. I guess I just don't like our boys being injured. But, you know,
let me say this too. And we've been dealing with this for the NFL for years. You know, with all of the gambling interest now that.
I was thinking you're going to say gambling.
Yeah, with as much money as they pour into these sports, you know, they want to know when they set these lines, they want to know who's playing and who's not playing. That's a big part of this. That's, you know, that's why these conferences and obviously the professional sports require injury lists and who's available and who's not available. So that's a big part of it too. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals where it's just kind of the way it's always been done. If you know, listen, if there's something, a lot of times coaches will say, you know, about, well, we're going to wait and see how he looks in warmups. There are times when you go into a game not knowing for sure whether a guy was going to play or not play, and they don't. If they think there's a chance to play, a coach won't say one way or the other. He said, you know, it's a game time decision. You've heard that one. Or we'll see how he looks in warm-ups. Yeah, sure. But if a guy's out for sure and you know he's out, that usually goes ahead and gets released.
All right, brother. Well, take my call, man. So you just score. I'm getting old. It's getting my Georgia memory, my education. You just score predictions tomorrow, right?
Well, yeah, for all the SEC games against the point spread. And I'll go ahead and tell you what I picked the Alabama game because I do it on Tuesday night on Tider Insider. I think that 13.5 point line is about right. I got Bama. I picked Bama 27-13. So I think it's going to be a competitive game. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Alabama goes down there and mud holes them. But I think it's going to be a competitive game. I do have Alabama covering by a half point, but I got it 27-13. But all the rest of the games, I'll pick them tomorrow.
Gus, miles on. We meet again. Yeah. All right, brother. Have a wonderful day, brother. Roll tight.
All right, Cam. Just can't get away from that guy. All right, it's 10:14 here on the Gary Harris Show, and lunch is right around the corner. And I tell you what, it's a Thursday. Temperature's great. It's a little overcast, but it's a perfect day to sit outside on that beautiful patio of Billy's Sports Grill in downtown historic Northport, right there on Main Avenue. So many people flocked to that place. It's the service, the food, and like I said, sitting outside on a day like today, I tell you what, Chase, there are some people that, you know, especially on a Friday, today's a Thursday, but there's some people I know they will go to lunch and then they'll just knock off a little early and they'll spend 2 or 3 hours sitting there at Billy's. So check it out. It opens at 11 a.m. All right, 10:15. Let's get to our break. When we come back on the other side, I'd love to get some phone calls. Where are all my football callers, man? Let me hear from you. I mean, this is a slow day for calls. Unusual. 205-342-9904. We'll also get back to those Kalen DeBoer clips as the head football coach of the Crimson Tide had his radio show last night. We roll on from Tuscaloosa. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield on Tide 100.9 FM, 1230 AM WTBC, the Tide 109 app, and Tide109.com. We're coming right back.
Now, this hour Hour's West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. Tuscaloosa County Schools is losing its superintendent. Dr. Kerry Johnson has been announced as the new Pelham School Superintendent. And in Greene County, Superintendent Dr. Corey Johnson is announcing his future today after resigning yesterday. Warrior Met Coal Company has advised the Tuscaloosa County Commission it plans to construct a $1 billion mine in North Tuscaloosa County. That is if the county will designate Brandon School Road a haul route and allow heavier trucks. The mine could add more than 400 new jobs. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we're expanding our showroom to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at Tuscaloosa Mazda.
Lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow truck, lawn enforcement and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the road.
And she'll love it.
I'm Tom Osment, your jeweler at Fincher & Osment Jewelers. Not so easy to find on McFarland between Edgar's and Local Roots.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose.
In-store, online, and in the Target app. Hurry and save more with the long weekend sale happening now through Monday. Only at Target.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a chance of showers, mainly this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A few showers around, the high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers, the high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Prince, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And quick thought before we get back to some Kayla DeBoer clips on the Ryder Cup and the big news, Keegan Bradley, the captain. Everyone thought, or say everyone, a lot of people thought he would be a playing captain because he played so well this year. That's not the case. He is just going to be the captain. He said he thought, you know, the captain, to be asked to be the captain, that that's a full-time job. I like that thought process. I think it shows selflessness. And he had six automatic picks, picked his six qualifiers. He picked his other six picks yesterday, including Justin Thomas, former Alabama golfer. And the Ryder Cup coming up next month up at Bethpage Black in New York. And Alabama will be well represented with JT. JT won this year for the first time since 2021. He played really well for the most part, and I'm glad he's on the team. It'll make it even more exciting for us to follow the Ryder Cup. But I tell you what, I think Keegan Bradley's going to do a great job, and the Europeans have had the upper hand on the Ryder Cup now for, you know, in recent history. But this U.S. team really seems focused and ready to go. All right, let's get back to Kalen DeBoer. And, of course, obviously we mentioned the forecast already for rain, and it could be pretty bad. If you look at the forecast today, thunderstorms and heavy rain. Here's Coach DeBoer on preparing your team for the rainy conditions potentially.
Take a chance of rain, though. Anything special you do to prep for that?
Yeah, you can ask the offensive skill guys in particular what that looks like. So wet balls that are wet with soap on them, anything to make it as slippery as possible so they got to really focus and try to give them the worst case scenario of what it could be. That's part of what we're doing, again, getting ready, because that's certainly a possibility.
How they handle it.
Yeah, it's definitely has an impact, right? I don't care if you're going to really do it and do it right in practice. Sometimes it can not go quite as well as you want.
All right. Listen, I had somebody text me this morning, a social media message saying, I hope they're preparing for the rain. Teams do wet ball drills. I think they do them all the time, even when there's not rain in the forecast. It's just something you want your team to be prepared for, and certainly Alabama is covering that. Let's just get to this one, the clip that was right before that one, Chase, and I missed it, but this is just opening the season on the road and a true road game in a hostile environment, preparing for the unique challenges of that. Here's Kalen DeBoer again.
When you're opening up like that.
Yeah, you're just focused on execution, right? Whether you're home or away, you want to execute. But now when you're having to execute and offensively, you're worried about, the snap count and hearing the snap count and all of that. So now the noise factor, and it's going to be, I've never played there, but a great environment. And so we've worked a lot on that the last couple of weeks, and that's one piece of it. And then everything that comes along with momentum and home field advantage. And so, it's going to be a great test for our guys. We looking forward to the challenge. This is a group of guys that isn't going to back down from anything. We got to see where we're at here. So I'm excited.
All right, let's get to one more clip before we go to our break, come back with Jeff Spiegel. And we'll hang on to a couple clips, too, for the end of the show. Coach was asked how pleased he is with the process of how they went about naming a starting quarterback, which eventually was Ty Simpson. And here's how Coach DeBoer answered that.
Position has gotten themselves ready for the start of this season. And I know that begins with Ty, but yeah. It's not exclusive to Ty, is it?
Yeah, it's a special room full of guys. First of all, men that are just, great people. And then just great players too. And it was great seeing these guys go about it and just test each other and push each other, but do it in a healthy way. And that's really hard to do. And I think there's a lot that goes into it, first of all with them, but also, I'll take Ryan Grubb and Nick Sheridan working together in that quarterback room and, finding the ways to just, mesh it all together and the personalities and, being able to coach guys hard, keep pushing them, and it not be something where, one guy looks and feels like someone's getting, treated differently and all that. We're past that, way past that. These guys are as supportive of each other as any quarterback room I've ever seen from top to bottom. And that's what's really cool. And they have a genuine respect for each other and, only want the best out of each guy. And I think most people would say that. That's truly what the case is here with these guys.
All right. Good stuff from Coach DeBoer. As I said, we got a couple more clips that we're going to play for you before the show is over. But here's something about Coach DeBoer that, and I was asked this this morning on another show before I did my show, the differences between Coach DeBoer and Coach Saban. And obviously, they're different coaches, different men. I think that there's a lot of common ground. I think that Coach DeBoer believes in the process as well. I mean, understanding that, everybody wants to win on Saturday. Everybody wants to go out and play well. But, you win games in the off season. Conditioning program in the spring, in the summer when you're doing 7-on-7s with your teammates, and then obviously in fall camp. You don't You don't go out and win games on Saturday just because you want to go win on Saturday. It's you have to prepare to win. I think that he is an excellent preparation coach. I think that this team will be well prepared, all of the different possibilities covered, and I think he's very good in that area, much like Coach Saban. Personality-wise, there are some differences. I think Coach DeBoer is a little more laid back, but at the same time, he has showed fire. I don't think the coaches, the players and coaches look at him as a pushover by any means, but not maybe quite as in-your-face as Coach Saban was. But I think that he relates to the players very, very well. I think they respect him. I think they enjoy playing for him. And I think he did not feel like he had to come in here and do everything the way Nick Saban did it. And you say, well, every coach is that way. No, I've seen coaches go to places. I've seen it happen here at Alabama where the coach felt like, well, I want to do it the way it's been done at Alabama because, you know, that's what they expect. He didn't go by that book. He immediately, you know, they practice in the mornings now instead of the afternoons. A media schedule, that setup's completely different than it was under Coach Saban. So he wasn't afraid to implement his program. And I think in a program like Alabama, it's a lot of times it's easy for a coach to come in and say, well, I did it this way at my other place, but I'm going to do it this way because this is the way it's been done at Alabama. He did it his way, so I appreciate that. All right, 10:29, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Jeff Spiegel, ABC 3340, Sports Anchor, next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Jeff Spiegel standing by from ABC 3340. Let me mention this. Our good friend Daryl Furman and the Letterman of the USA organization are teaming up with the Birmingham Barons to give back to those who have given so much together. They are going to surprise 5 children of veterans with brand new laptops, empowering them with tools for education and success. This is going to happen this Saturday night. Game starts at 6:30, and they're going to give out the laptops in the third inning. So a special event on Saturday night with the Birmingham Barons and Letterman of the USA. All right, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. This is the week one after kind of an appetizer for week zero, but we got college football tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so we're ready to go. Let's start with Auburn because they play tomorrow night at Baylor. Both these teams have high expectations. It's in Waco, but I have looked, and I think Baylor's got a good football team, but I keep looking at this Auburn roster, Jeff, and I mean, I see some really talented football players on both sides of the ball. I think that Auburn is poised to get over the hump this year. How do you see this opener playing out tomorrow night?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think I think Auburn, you know, certainly has, you know, the offensive tools and the defensive tools to put together, you know, a nice year. And for them, I mean, I think that would be an 8-4 regular season, you know, and a return to a bowl game, which would be incredible, you know, for Hugh Freeze and those guys. Certainly the opener, you know, is so critical. I mean, they've got to go in and they got to beat Baylor. You know, there's no moral victories here. They can't lose this game. If they lose this game, you know, I think they lose, you know, some passion, you know, from the fan base when it comes to, you know, getting behind Hugh Freeze and these guys. He's brought in a new quarterback. Jackson Arnold, who, you know, from all indications in fall camp, has been kind of up and down. You know, I think Hugh wishes he would, you know, stay in the pocket, you know, a little more, be a little more patient. But he's got good legs and he likes to use those, you know, when he gets in trouble. So that's a positive that he's got some good foot speed. But you know, I don't know if Hugh has been, I don't know if Hugh Freeze has been 100% happy with his total camp performance. So, you know, there's a little bit of unknowns here, you know, when it comes to Auburn. And I talk to Auburn fans a lot, you know, in the course of a week, and they're not really sure. They're cautiously optimistic. And that's the way they're heading into this opener.
And do you think we'll see multiple quarterbacks play for Auburn tomorrow night?
Well, we could. I mean, he certainly left the door open for that. And I think that also, you know, makes Auburn fans a little uneasy, you know, because, you know, the old saying, you know, if you have to have three quarterbacks, that means you don't have a good one. You know, I don't necessarily believe that's true, but I think what Hugh Freeze was trying to point out to people is that, you know, all three quarterbacks can do good things. And he trusts all three of them in different packages. Now, Jackson Arnold is the QB1. There's no doubt about that. Unquestionably, the QB1 going into this game. But it wouldn't surprise me if they've got a package for Deuce Knight, if they've got a package for Ashton Daniels. But I don't think it's going to be one of those things where Arnold plays first down, Knight plays second down, and Daniels plays third down. It's not going to be one of those things. But it wouldn't surprise me if you see all three.
So you like Auburn here?
I do like Auburn here. I like it. I think it's going to be a tough game for them. But I like them to win this game. And I think it's absolutely critical that they do.
All right, on Saturday afternoon in Tallahassee, 2:30 Central Time, kickoff, we hope. Because we know, you and I both know this, working in the broadcasting business, and even though we're sportscasters, the only certainty with the weather is that it's uncertain. But the forecast does not look good. It looks like the rain, not only could there be rain, it could be heavy, could potential for thunderstorms and lightning. It could be, you know, one of those games we hope it doesn't happen, where it could be delayed or stoppages. Could be wet conditions. Alabama goes in there as a 13.5-point favorite, but Florida State's retooled, 50 new players, 2 new coordinators, including Gus Malzahn on offense. You know, the fan base is going to be at a fever pitch if the weather doesn't dampen their enthusiasm because of what happened 2 years ago when Alabama got into the playoff and Florida State did not, and trying to bounce back. So I think this is a game where I'm a little leery. Most of the people that I talk to in the media are picking Alabama by, you know, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. I've got it, you know, 27-13. I think Alabama will win the game, and I think it'll be tough. Jeff, how do you see it?
I think I agree with you. I think it's a 2-touchdown thing. Of course, you know, the rain can be the great equalizer, you know, and rain can also lead to, you know, to making some mistakes. And so, you know, Ty Simpson needs to go in there and look, he's not going to play 100% clean ball game. Not many quarterbacks do play a completely clean game in week one. So there's going to be some bugaboos that happen during the game, but you know, he's got to get his people in the right play. He's got to distribute the ball, you know, to the people, to the talented, you know, people that he's got there. Tim Keenan being out is a big concern. You know, I think to me that's a bigger loss than Jam Miller at this point. And I think that, but there are some talented guys on that D line that can, you know, shift around and you know, they can. I don't think it's going to be a huge, you know, deal breaker when it comes to Alabama winning this game Saturday, but I do think that's a big loss for this team, not only from a physical standpoint, but from a just a spiritually uplifting team captain,
no doubt,
type guy that he is.
No doubt, I'm with you 110%. I think it's a big loss too, and. But you got, you know, you have to overcome injuries in football, and Alabama get a chance to do it in their first game. How do you think Ty Simpson's going to play in this game?
I think he's going to play really well. I mean, I think he's shown out in fall camp. I know it's different when you turn on the lights, and then in this case, when you turn on the water, if it happens. But I think this is a guy who's waited his turn. He's earned it. I think he's ready to go out there and cut loose and have fun. I think he knows he's got a strong supporting cast, and that I think, you know, he's going to be okay. And I see him as a guy who's got, you know, a lot of moxie, as they say, a lot of good leadership qualities, and also, you know, a great skill set. I think he's got a great arm. I think he's got quicker feet. Now, he's no Jalen Milroe, but I think this guy can get up and go when he needs to. We've seen evidence of that. We can point out to the Chattanooga game, Gary, a couple of years ago, you know, when he had that great run. Of course, now he dropped the ball just before he got to the end zone. But it was impressive. I mean, the Alabama fans that I've talked to are really excited for this guy, and I think he's going to deliver. I think he'll have a great season.
What a big week one for the SEC. In addition to these two games that we just discussed, I mean, you got number one Texas at number three Ohio State. You got number nine LSU at number four Clemson. On Sunday, you got South Carolina taking on Virginia Tech in Atlanta. You got an underrated game, I think, in Syracuse at Tennessee on Saturday. Mississippi State, for some reason, is going to Hattiesburg to play Southern Miss. I mean, this is a great opening week menu of college football. I mean, it's some obvious games there, but what excites you most about this opening weekend outside of Alabama and Auburn?
Clemson LSU.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to that one. I think there are high expectations for both of these programs. I think, Garrett Nussmeier and the Tigers for LSU are poised to have a big year. I think Clemson, you know, Dabo Sweeney has survived the storms. You know, I mean, all the criticism of him being set in his ways and not buying into the portal, but yet here he is. He's got his guys, and he made the playoff last year and expected to make the playoff again this year and maybe compete for a national championship. So it'll be interesting to see the battle of the Tigers, the battle of the Death Valley guys, and see how this comes out. Because I think it's going to be a strong opening statement for, you know, whoever wins the game. Whoever loses isn't out of a playoff, but whoever wins certainly is off to a great start.
Right there in Birmingham, and as we've discussed often here on the program, it's been a rocky road for Trent Dilfer so far as head coach of the UAB Blazers. But they play 7:30 Saturday night against Alabama State. Certainly should win the game. The Alabama game will be over, we hope. And hope there's not enough rain delays that it carries on that long. Auburn plays on Friday night, so playing an in-state school and a chance for UAB to win a game, to get to 1-0. So I don't know that the crowd will be huge, but do you think that there is any excitement from the fans surrounding this team and that they will turn out in a pretty decent number on Saturday night?
Actually, UAB is tonight, Gary.
UAB, oh, my mistake. Yeah. Duh. Correction. Yeah. Thank you. Tonight. And, so they don't have to worry about Alabama or Auburn either. So they're playing tonight. Thank you. Good catch, Jeff. My mistake.
Yeah. No problem. I think this is the way UAB starts out every year. They always, you know, schedule a team that, you know, they feel like they can handle and they can beat, you know, to give them, you know, a little bit of a confidence level. The roster's just been overturned. The coaching staff on defense has been overturned. So there's a lot of new taking the field tonight, you know, out there for UAB. And, you know, Jalen Kitten is back. They've got some playmakers. They got enough playmakers here on offense to score a lot of points. The key is this the flip of the defensive staff. How does that play out? Is it going to work? Do all these defensive guys buy in to what these coaches are telling them? I mean, they've been talking a good game. They're excited about it because, you know, a lot of these coaches have NFL background and a lot of these guys want to go to the next level. So we'll see how different the defense is than last year because it's got to be a lot different. Or UAB is going to be in the same shape they were in last year.
Yeah, that's right. I just got through saying we had college football tonight, and I tried to put UAB on Saturday night. But do you think what do you think in terms of attendance? Do you think this will be a decently attended game tonight? It's a Thursday night game, chance to get a jump start on the season. Do you think the fans will respond, or do you think the crowd will be really low?
I think they will. I mean, I think they're going to come out. There's, you know, there's people who are hungry for football. And I think there will be some curiosity from that first game. I'm afraid to make a prediction on how big of a crowd it will be. But I think it'll be a pretty active, raucous crowd, and because they're itching for football. And then now that you've got that crowd, if you're Trent Dilfer's team, you gotta make good on what you promised, to deliver. And Trent hasn't made many big promises. He said even as recently as Monday that, we got some good pieces, but we got a lot of work to do. So, week by week, this is a team that's either going to get better or it's going to slide, as we've seen in the past couple of years. And I think UAB fans hope that this is the year they kind of break out and get a winning season.
All right, I'm sitting here looking at the schedule, so I do not want to make the same mistake with Jacksonville State. They also open it up tonight in a really nice opening game on the road at UCF. Scott Frost comes back to coach the Knights after Gus Malzahn left to go be a coordinator at Florida State. They're hoping they can recapture the magic that he had. Of course, Coach Kelly getting it underway at JSU after a couple really nice years by Rich Rodriguez. Do you think Jack State, they don't like to be referred to as JSU anymore. You think Jack State has a chance to go in there and win tonight?
Well, I think that's a tough ask, to go on the road and do something like that. Jack State, new coaching staff, rebuilding. This is one of those weeks. Coaching transitions are tough, as we experienced last year with Alabama. So, Charles Kelly's got a good staff. He's got a good buy-in so far. Fall camp's gone great for them. But that's kind of a tough ask. To go on the road and get a win like that, but certainly that'd be a great start to the Charles Kelly era, and I think this could be a good year for Jack State. But there could be some bumps along the way, and tonight may be the night where you see a couple of those bumps and hiccups.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough ask, as you said, but it'll be a fun game. Be a good game to watch. So it's here, Jeff. It's off and running. And of course, I want to ask you about Saturday afternoon. Two games at Historic Legion Field, the Labor Day Week Zero Classic and the game that I'm calling, UWA and Fort Valley State, West Alabama in town for a 4:15 kick at Legion Field. Of course, Scott Cochran's generated a ton of buzz being the head coach and with his battle with addiction. His book is out. And then, of course, the tragedy that happened over the weekend when they lost a freshman defensive lineman killed in an automobile accident. So it's always good, though, I think, to have football games at Legion Field, Jeff. And I'm not just saying that because I'm going to be calling on the broadcast team. I think that to have an in-state school playing at Legion Field on Saturday afternoon is exciting as part of a doubleheader.
Yeah, there a lot of history there, and I know you'll be up in that press box, and there'll be a lot of memories, kind of come flooding, your way as you're up there and you're looking out over the old gray lady. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people excited about what Scott could do. He's brought in some of his Alabama.
It's an all-star staff for Division II school.
It's so great. I love it. And I think there's no doubt this guy's gonna bring a lot of energy and a lot of passion, to this program. And that's something, they want. When you're an athletic director and you're looking to make a big splash hire, I think this is a big splash hire. And I think that everyone's, waiting to see if Scott Cochran can be a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start to find that question, that answer to that question Saturday.
Yeah, you got a lot of interest in that game. All right, we got high school tonight and tomorrow night as well, so it's here. We're running. Both of us, I know, like a chicken with her head cut off. In fact, I might have to lean on you for some UAB highlights tonight. Just file that away in your bank. But Jeff, tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure. Speaks at ABC 3340, and then we're on here 4:30, 6 to 10, and the EOG Wrap kicking off on Saturday.
Jack. All right, yeah, plug the, yeah, what a great show that was last year. I'm that's right, it comes back. You've got the Bama game on 3340 on Saturday afternoon, EOG game wrap. I know it's a lot of work, but boy, that's a fun show.
Well, I appreciate that, and we have a fun time doing it. Gary, I hope you have a great weekend, and have a good call Saturday.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, 10:50 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're going to break away. I'm going to try to squeeze in another clip or two from Coach DeBoer if we can when we come back.
Offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose.
Attendance is free and open to all. Don't miss this opportunity to be informed, empowered, and connected. For more details, log on to TuscaloosaThread.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama
451000 Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representations made in the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a chance of showers, mainly this afternoon and tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 64. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A few showers around, the high, 81. Saturday, only isolated showers, the high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
At 10:54, we're going to try to get another clip in from Coach DeBoer. This is a good one, talking about Ryan Grubb coming in, Nick Sheridan, who was the play caller last year and offensive coordinator coaching the quarterbacks. They've worked together before, and how that has been going with both of those guys together.
It's a case at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to brag on these two guys. And first of all, who they are, what type of coaches they are, it's just on their own, right? And the knowledge that they have, the way they just always want to continue to get better. There's a reason why they're on the staff. There's a reason why over many years with Coach Grubb and then also with Nick Sheridan, go back to 2019, why I was so impressed with him and what he's done for me, whether it was then or the last now going on 4 years at Washington and here. So, I'm going to tell you, our quarterback room is getting coached better than any other quarterback room in the country. I'm just telling you, that's how it is. And not too much, but what they need to know. The reps, the individual work that these guys need to have, and because every guy's at a different spot with their skill sets. That those attention to details are taken care of. These guys are challenged, but they talk about the character of the quarterbacks. You know this unique situation with Ryan Grubb coming back. It's such a unique because our time together, but now you put him with Nick, and you got an all-star crew, and they just, again, they're in the room, and Ryan Grubb is the coordinator and going to call plays and oversees all of it and is kind of the one really, in his mind, seeing the direction it goes. But I can tell you, there's a number of guys, and Grubb does a great job of going to different guys to ask questions, and it's O-line related, and he feels good about his knowledge of the O-line, but he's going to talk to Coach Cap. But when it comes to quarterback play, and he's and even the offense in general. You know, Nick's right there with great answers, great hypotheticals, the what ifs, you know, all those, you know, devil advocate type things that that you need to have, and someone who is doing it in a non-threatening way.
What a great way to close out the show. I mean, Coach DeBoer just saying, hey, our quarterbacks are getting coached better than any quarterbacks in the country. Strong statement. But I have to tell you, with Ryan Grubb and Nick Sheridan together, I don't doubt that. All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Thursday edition. Again, a reminder, tomorrow I'll be live at Innisfree Irish Pub. They open at 11, but I'll be there at 9 doing the show. And, you know, if you want to slip in the side door and hang out while I'm doing the show, we can get you in and have you hang out with us for a little bit. We're going to have a fun show tomorrow, including Kirk McNair, longtime reporter, former sports information person for Alabama with Coach Bryant. That's going to be a great conversation. So I will talk to you in the morning at 9 a.m. Catch me on TV tonight with your local sports, including plenty of football highlights tonight on the 10 o'clock edition. Jacksonville State playing, UAB playing, high school football tonight. We've got Paul Bryant going to Minor. I'm going to send a crew over for that, Chase. So going to be a big night, and then the big day tomorrow morning on the show. All right, for Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening. And we've got the Miller's Edge coming up next at 11 a.m. Have a great Thursday and enjoy these cool temperatures.